The scripture reading is taken from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 26. James chapter 1, reading from verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of men does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the word, from the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Koinshin, please stand for the gospel reading. This afternoon, the gospel is taken from the sixth chapter according to the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning from verse 43. Glory to Christ, our Savior. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 47. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruits. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Please sit.
Hands together to welcome our Archbishop Titus to bring us the word of the Lord. Archbishop.
Let us commit the time to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for such a wonderful afternoon. We ask of your presence to be with us, especially may your Holy Spirit work wonderfully in our hearts. Shape us and mold us so that we can be Christ-like and to bring glory to you. We pray all this in the name of your Son. Amen. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ. On behalf of the diocese, I bring greetings to you and wish you and your family well in Christ. Today is indeed very special because we have confirmation service. To begin, I wish to thank God and praise Him for all our brothers and sisters who will be confirmed very soon. It is always a joy to see how God bless and lead His people into His church, especially to this family, St. John, St. Margaret family. Confirmation is about affirming our faith in God. While it is mainly for our candidates, I believe all of us here, in fact, can take the opportunity to reflect upon our own faith, our journey with God, especially on how we lead our daily life. Are we truly God's disciples? On this note, I wish to begin by asking a very simple, perhaps important question. What is faith? What is faith? The question is very easy. The answer, however, may not be as easy as we wish. Of course, for those who are familiar with the Bible, certainly we'll refer to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 that says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hoped for and assurance about what we do not see." Many believers find this verse very challenging, hard to understand. They ask, what is this that we are hoping for and yet cannot be seen? To facilitate our understanding, James chapter 1, verse 2 provides us some clues. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Consider it pure joy. Not just ordinary joy, but pure joy. That is something from God that the world cannot give. And yet such promise of pure joy from above, from the divine, will not happen unless there are trials of many kinds. So in a way, God put us through trials and tribulation, or even to allow difficulties and challenges to come upon us for a good reason. Yet the question is, are we willing to face them squarely? Or would we rather choose to run away from them? Of course, to run away from trials and tribulations, it is easy and painless. Yet we risk disobeying God's will. And we are actually depriving ourselves the true joy from God that can receive through all these difficulties. You know, one of our problems after becoming Christians for many years is that we are too intellectual and focus too much on reading the Bible. Before you get me wrong, I want to say again, it is certainly very, very important to read the Bible, and certainly absolutely brilliant to have a strong Bible knowledge. However, as much as reading the Bible is important, James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, chapter 1, verse 22. The point is, having a solid Bible knowledge, although it's good, by itself is not enough. What essentially important according to our faith is, do what it says. James is very concerned of our self-deception here, which is falsely associating good Bible knowledge with faith. And therefore he says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Chapter 2, verse 17. The warning from James is important to us today, because he's challenging us to rethink through the issue of faith, what actually faith is all about, and more importantly, what type of faith do you have? I have. The question of faith is important, and how to answer and respond to this challenge. Is there some measuring yards? Indeed, yes, and that's the part of good news, because James in chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, actually gave us three handles. First, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Second, true religion is about looking after orphans and widows in their distress. And third, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In modern term, we can say James has given us three KPI to measure our faith. So let us begin with the first one. First question, do we keep a tight rein on our tongues? You know, the tongue is the smallest part of the body. And yet James has used a big portion in chapter 3 to deal with the tongue. Although the tongue is small, James says, it makes great boasts. The tongue is, of course, like a small spark, as James says, that can set the whole forest on fire. It corrupts the whole body, set the whole course of one's life on fire. These are very strong words from James to describe something so small. But I believe we can agree with James that the tongue is indeed very dangerous. How dangerous it is, your tongue and my tongue. A Chinese proverb says, the tongue can kill a person without shedding a droplet of blood. I think that is very telling. If you know Chinese, it is 杀人不见血. Do you know Chinese? We need to ask ourselves, can we keep a tight rein on our tongues? If we are unable, could that be a sign that we are, after all, not that mature spiritually? Or maybe our faith is not as strong as we think it is. Certainly, I believe everyone here can agree with me that nobody who loves to gossip is a matured Christian. So, to know whether a person, a Christian, a believer, is matured or not, let us observe what is coming out from his or her mouth. And that is important, because maturity is not measured by how many years a person spends time in the church. Jesus, in today's gospel reading, says that a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks with the heart is full of. What the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. Indeed, it is dangerous, the tongue. The second indicator is about caring for the poor and needy, especially when they are in distress. When helping the poor, oftentimes that particular verse from Acts chapter 3, verse 6 pop up, because Peter says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I do give it to you. This particular verse, of course, Peter did not refer to money in terms of using money to help the poor and the needy. Not that money is not important. What Peter is saying is we ought to use all the things that we have to help the poor and the needy. And therefore, all the things that we have is what? The Lord, Jesus Christ. And Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Peter is setting the bar very high here regarding helping the poor. The message is we ought to use all the things that we have, the very best that we have to help the poor and the needy. And that certainly includes silver and gold for the cause of the gospel. Being generous in helping those who are in need of help is a mark of a strong faith. And we should not overlook this importance and need to ask ourselves, are we willing to help those who are in need of help? In the modern language, we can say this is to engage in social services or social work, serving the community. On this note, I think St. John's St. Margaret is a great encouragement to many of us because you are quite big on this ministry. I do know that within this village, besides the church, you have the nursing home, the senior care center, the little seed preschool. And outside this village, and just a few blocks away, you have Heart Friends Student Care Center and St. Andrew's Active Aging Center, of course, known as Kopi Stop. I think this is a huge ministry. I can only imagine the number of staff and volunteers needed just to keep this ministry running, to serve and help the community. So the question is, if you want to know whether your faith is strong, as what James says, you can put a tick to the box, the second KPI, and volunteer yourself for this ministry. You may be surprised at how God may, in fact, have already prepared something for you in this ministry to engage with the community, to help those who are in need of help. And that is a sign of strong faith. And do you know that today, actually, is the third anniversary of Kopi Stop's transition into an active aging center, such as from a weekly church ministry to the community to a daily outreach to the elderly in Dover. It is an important change. Cast the net wider to serve more people. Are you willing to help? Your answer is also an indication of how strong and how trustful you are in the Lord. How strong is your faith? The third indicator is about being polluted by the world. And the most obvious pollution is to conform to the ways of the world. And of course, Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12 that do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. According to Paul, when we conform to the value of the world, we will not be able to understand God's will and miss out the perfect blessing from the Lord, which is something good, pleasing, and wonderful. In addition, as we conform to the world, we risk bringing the world into the church and turn the church into a market. Remember what Jesus said to those who have fallen into this trap. John chapter 2, verse 16. Get this out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. Karl Barth, an important theologian of the 20th century, reminds us that one day the church will be judged by the word of God. And we need to take heed of this warning because increasingly we are seeing how the church is being polluted by the world. And Christians are becoming more secular and consumeristic in how we approach our faith. Case in point, I think we are familiar with that. The pursuit of health and wealth, or what we normally call the prosperity gospel. On this note, faith becomes a commodity for us to consume. We pick and choose verses from the Bible that suits our needs. We pick all the blessing verses. We avoid all the suffering verses. Therefore, in a way, we avoid the cross. And this is what Martin Luther called the theology of glory, focusing only on human achievement, human power, and worldly success as an evidence of God's blessing, and have forgotten the theology of the cross that emphasizes God's revelation through suffering. And Martin Luther specially emphasized this, the crucifixion of Jesus that demonstrates God's love amid human suffering and weakness. True faith in God in Christ is one that will not run away from suffering, but face it squarely with a deep trust in God that God will help us and God is there with us, as James says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. So, facing the three KPI given by James, first, to keep a tight rein on your tongues. Second, to do our very best to help the poor and the needy. And third, not to be polluted by the world. The question now is, how well have we done? Can we say we are able to pass with flying colors? It is certainly not easy. Yes, it is not easy to have a strong faith. But James encouraged us to consider it pure joy. Because at the end of the day, if we persevere, we will be matured, complete, and lacking nothing. Not lacking anything at all. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. So is it worth? The answer is yes, because we are all storing up treasure in heaven. And in return, receiving that great joy from the Lord. I believe our Christian faith is strong enough to withstand any trials and tribulation, because our God is great, and in Him, we will never be alone in this journey to be His witness and to let this world so needful of knowing this true God and know Him through us as a blessing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful words, especially from the teaching of St. James. Again today, because it is a confirmation service, help us to revisit our faith and affirm our faith in Christ. The faith that is proper according to the Bible. Not cheap but expensive, because it is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So let us follow Him to be the true disciples and able to embrace trials and tribulation as you allows it, so that through that, all glory be to God as Jesus Christ on the cross. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.